Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello everyone, welcome to Sherm Radio with me, Archana Jarath, where we talk about the work, worker and the workplace. Today we're going to be talking about intelligent organizations of the future, which are fueled by technology, by intelligent thinking and planning. And joining me all the way from London today is Ritvik Bhavan, Senior Principal at Accenture Strategy and Consulting Group. Ritvik, it is my pleasure to welcome you to Sherm Radio.
Good morning, Archana. How are you?
Very well, Ritvik. Very excited about this conversation and hearing your views on how we can make, you know, our organizations more ready and intelligently so for the future.
Absolutely happy to share my experiences, Archana.
Great. So, Ritvik, you know, you have so much experience working with so many organizations. In your view, you know, it's a very broad statement that we're talking about today, intelligent organizations of the future. What is, in your view, would be the key elements or the ideal design of an intelligent organization in the future?
Happy to go into the experiences of what we have done. In fact, Archana, it's a very relevant question because, you know, intelligent is a broad statement. I agree with you. But it has a very strong connotation of what it actually means for organizations. But what we have seen over the last 5 years is a massive move towards self-management, continuously adapting to the way things are changing. And those characteristics are what we call, in fact, in our research as the intelligent organization. And the way these intelligent organizations come across are some very key characteristics. In fact, we did a big research on these characteristics, which we published in our paper in World Economic Forum a couple of years back, and we felt, or our research came back to us saying, if an organization is supposed to be intelligent, it shows a couple of very sharp, distinct intelligent characteristics. And those characteristics are, in our research, 5 big pillars. Pillars like, you know, human, which is about the organization that's very purpose-driven. They believe in authentic workplaces or work experiences. They are very, very enhanced in terms of use of analytics, use of automation. They are very modular. They believe in multi-engine models. They believe in plug-and-play capabilities. But think of an Amazon storehouse. It's a classic example of how you can make entire supply chain very, very modular. It is also very liquid, where they can draw into resources from outside, internal, wherever it is. And finally, but not the least, they're quite living in their way, which is about they manage their team in a very self-organized manner. They are very stakeholder-centric, and they learn to sense and experiment on the way they want to evolve new things. So all of these characteristics, in our view, is what we would call an intelligent organization.
So Ritvik, you said a very important word, you know, saying that they're living. So every organization is also a living, breathing organism in its own way, and change or lack of change can sort of, you know, be the death knell for an organization. And living, breathing as part of that is the human, right? Which is, you know, the whole people aspect of culture, communication, behavior, networks. So how do you see all of this flowing in the intelligent organization of the future?
So it's a very curious analogy that you draw. We always get asked by our clients, like, what's the difference between a living and a human? Like, they seem almost similar. And my response always has been, think of the living as the brain behind the body, and think of human as the heart behind the body. The living tells us how you should self-organize. You know, no one tells you in your body how should your cells behave. You know, they work almost at, you know, they sort of self-manage. So living is about how you enable your teams, how you enable your stakeholders, your shareholders to self-manage, to sort of almost understand what's needed and then do it. It's ways of working. And human is the heart. It's about what you actually believe in. What's your purpose? What's your values? And can you instill that sort of value system in the lowest order of magnitude, which is, let's say, the lowest, you know, the workforces that you have, do they also believe in the same purpose and the same type of entrepreneurial learning that you want to sort of put in the whole organization? I don't know how many of you have heard of Hire, you know, this big, white goods company out of China. You know, they actually organize the entire P&L is made up of about 100, 150 plus small units. So they don't have a big category type, you know, business where they have like a washing machine or this. Whenever a team feels like they want to organize something around a business, they just break up into a team of 10, 15, 30, and they start their own P&L business. You know, this is happening at a billion-dollar company, and it's happening in that way. You know, for example, you know, I don't know how many of you have heard, there's a company called Boodschok, which is actually a sort of a Netherlands, it's like a healthcare company. It is about 11,000 nurses. You know, they basically provide healthcare services to the folks in Netherlands. So they have about 11,000 nurses, 4,000 domestic helpers, so about roughly 15,000 employees. And they have only a support team of 100 people, out of which 50 people are basically IT support. They have only two leaders. How does a team of 15,000 people manage and become the best employer of, you know, they are actually considered the best in their market? How do they do that? They self-manage. They go out, they create their small little squads, they manage their squads internally. They go about and doing everything in a very regimented fashion without having any type of governance and leadership. So there are a lot of these examples around the world. Let's take example of a banking. You know, Handelsbanken is actually a bank in Sweden. It's actually pretty, it's one of the top European banks. You know, banking, a very traditional industry. They have about 12,000 employees and about 700 branches. Each branch is a P&L of its own. There is no central government body telling them that you have to organize in this way. Each of them manages the P&L, the way they work, the way they operate on its own. And they can make decisions about their branch, the way they work on their own. So there are a lot of these examples which are coming out, and I won't even go into the high-tech industry. For example, the Netflix and the Spotify's of the world, we all know those examples already. The reason I wanted to bring these examples are because these are examples from healthcare, nursing, public services, banking, industry that we always feel are like, oh, these are like the old legacy industries and they will not change. No, the change is happening even there, and that is the way they operate. That's the way they work.
I think these examples are really, really, brilliant examples spreading across different industries, which, as you said, you know, like legacy industries, which I think will help our listeners also, you know, sort of connect with these examples. So thank you for that, Ritvik. At this point, we'll take a very short break and be right back.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Sherm Radio. We are talking about intelligent organizations of the future, and I have with me Ritvik Bhavan of Accenture Strategy and Consulting Group. Welcome back to the conversation. So, Ritvik, we were talking about, you know, the whole self-managed modular fluid organizations. And one of the big things that's also happened in the last few years and is going to continue to sort of explode is the whole data part of it, right? There's a huge explosion on data, and many experts are also pointing towards a shift towards, you know, organization guidance systems replacing or sort of, you know, being the next level of analytics. Can you share some light on this area?
Gladly, this is one of my passion areas. Analytics has always been sort of my sweet spot over the last couple of years. So I think what we classify analytics, you know, from a very broad perspective, there is a set of analytics that you need to drive what we call transformation in organizations. You know, when you want to do, let's say, a massive change, you want to sort of drive a new, structure in the organization, you use analytics to drive the transformation. You use it to drive a process, and you can use, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, optimization. Those are all different techniques of driving that. And there is a set of analytics that you use to sustain change or sustain capabilities. Now, our main focus is in the sustain part. Because traditionally, people have always talked about analytics in the sustained mode as, oh, I'm just going to run some recruitment analytics, or I'm going to run some, you know, learning analytics. We say that's the age of that type of analytics is almost dead. We have to move to a point where we start to use a term called org hacking. Gary Hamel, who's one of the leading proponents in this space, actually used it in one of his books. So what org hacking actually means is to instill a sense of sense and experiment in almost all the little processes that we do in the organization. You are doing a recruitment process. Can I just go and see what happens if I change, let's say, a sourcing channel from, let's say, a web to maybe you know, some other channel, what happens? So this whole idea of trying to almost keep on experimenting, sensing, understanding what's happening, and then coming back with feedback to say, this process is not going to change using analytics. So analytics has to sort of go inside the way you work, has to become the DNA of the way you work, and almost sort of give you feedback almost on a constant basis to say, well, this thing is now sort of hitting its buffer over 80%. We need to change this. And I would say at this point, you know, if you're not pursuing, you know, two big pillars of analytics, which is cloud and artificial intelligence, you should think about that very, very closely, because both of those things actually change the paradigm of how you look at analytics, you look at insights, and how do you build that. So what I always say to my clients is, the age of business intelligence is dead, but intelligent businesses is starting. The difference being, business intelligence is centralized data giving reports. Business intelligence is putting the intelligence or the analytics in the way you work. From the lowest retail worker to lowest, you know, shop worker, the way he works, if you can put the intelligence in the way he is working, that's where you reach intelligent businesses.
Well, that's a line I'm definitely going to use again. Ritwik, totally love that about, you know, age of BI is dead and the age of intelligent business is here. So that's a big nugget for me personally. Also, you know, with this whole shift and, you know, and the COVID crisis pandemic, you know, we can't really keep that out of any conversation. We talk of the future has led to a big shift for many organizations towards, you know, newer models of work, remote work, gig work, etc., coming into more of a, you know, model or org design. And I believe I read somewhere that more than 86% organizations, as per some survey done recently, I don't remember where the survey happened, it was more than 86% organizations responded that yes, they would be looking at, you know, virtual teams and remote works as part of their new model at the workplace. So what is the implication of all these changes and shifts on the org design perspective?
So the biggest shift that we have seen is what we call the breaking of myths. So I'm going to come at this a little bit more contrarian. I think you'll get a lot of these nuggets today, Archana, because my perspective, our perspective, this has, that it has broken a lot of myths that organizations always sort of, you know, held on to. So myth about people can't do remote working. Like, you know, there was always a concern from the CSO, the CIO, that a lot of my critical work cannot happen outside my offices. Well, COVID proved that all of that work could happen, and not just happen, but happen at a very productive level. You know, this whole concern about how do I make my logistics work? How do I make my operational efficiency work? Well, COVID just proved that every single company that we have seen are actually doing the work exactly the same way without having to come to an office. So a lot of these myths about ways of working is broken. The second myth that people, when we got broken, is that we used to always say that employees love change. It's the organizations who can't make the change palatable to the employees. I'll take a small example of that, you know, Archana. Think of, you know, when you were a kid or when you have kids at home and you are about to change something, like, you know, change, you know, want to introduce some new thing in your life. You always feel excited about that. You want to go and try a new restaurant, you feel excited. You're about to get something, you know, going to a new place, you feel excited. So that is change, but you love that change. Why do employees don't love change? Because it's something which is hidden from them. Well, COVID proved to all the organizations that change came to everyone at the same time. Like, there was nothing hidden. Everyone in the employee in the organization knew what's going to happen. But employees were able to sort of move to that ways of working faster than anyone in the organization. So this whole myth that, you know, employees, you know, don't like change, they don't engage with change, was actually sort of questioning the way we actually do change. And the last thing that we actually, you know, sort of saw in ways of working is that people were able to self-govern themselves.
And that's probably one of the biggest shifts, you know, that COVID's brought about, is make us more open towards change and have more trust in the ability for our people to change. Would you agree with that, Ritwik?
Absolutely, absolutely. See, I've always believed that it's the employees who can change the fastest, but it's the organizational structure, the power dynamics, you know, people who have, you know, legacy, you know, control, they always are the ones who stop change from happening. So this is a lesson for us to say, change doesn't have to go get cooked in a small little, you know, ivory tower somewhere and then given off to the employees. Employees have to be a part of the change. They have to start involving them and become a part of the actual process, not just being given, saying this is what's going to happen.
Very true. And I think it will also be a much stronger case of, you know, a contract of trust if this is the way that we start, you know, dealing with change. Because change, I think I'd mentioned that earlier, according to me, is one of the biggest, you know, factors for an organization to continue to breathe and grow, whether through necessity or through, you know, sort of initiated change.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think this, you know, and I'll sort of, you know, use a quote saying the age of superhero CEOs are over. And it's not my quote, it's Ashish Shivnather's quote saying, you know, successful CEOs are not, or successful leaders are not people who are like superstars. They're more like people who actually enable the talent and the geniuses in the organization to come forward and be the true stars.
Very true. And I think on that note, we're totally out of time. I would love to carry on this conversation. It's really interesting. And, you know, the kind of change we're looking at, definitely positive impact for organizations and for employees both. But thank you so much, Ritwik, for sharing and for giving those wonderful examples and my favorite nugget, as I said earlier. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
It's my pleasure, Ashna. And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening into SHOM Radio in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters, Podcasters for India, Inc.
This is SHOM Radio in partnership with Timber Media, Podcasters for India, Inc.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.